Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The lesson for our message this morning was based on the reading just read from 1 Timothy 3, and our message is entitled, A Church Centered on Christ. Dear friends and beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, at this fine institution, it has been said once or twice that all theology is Christology. Perhaps you've heard that. And it's said with good reason, because it's in fact absolutely true. Jesus Christ is at the center and at the heart of all things involving theology. And our reading today from 1 Timothy 3 reinforces this truth because it tells us about the reality of the Holy Christian Church. Now, a temptation that all pastors and all pastors-to-be will wrestle with on occasion is falling into that trap of thinking that the church is going to rise and fall purely and solely on our efforts. Now, certainly, pastors must be very, very diligent in their studies. And absolutely, it is imperative that pastors work very hard in preparation for sermons and Bible studies and visitations and everything else that they do. But at the end of the day, the reality is that the church is not centered on us, it is centered on Christ. Now, as you're aware, 1 Timothy 3 was written by St. Paul to Timothy because Paul was concerned about the newly formed and growing Ephesian church. The church had come under attack by heresy, namely from problematic Gnostic-type teachings that had infiltrated the theology there, and so Paul had wanted to join Timothy in the ministry, but he saw that he may be delayed for a while. So he wrote this letter to Timothy so that Timothy could have his guidance in case Paul was delayed in getting there to join him. And so our passage today, while it is rather short, is such a tremendous blessing and gift to us because it tells us of this invaluable truth of Christ at the center and heart of the church, which is a truth that must be proclaimed without ceasing. Now, the first thing to take note of here is, why was Paul so worried in the first place? I mean, after all, isn't diversity of thought a good thing? Well, it might be in most circles, but when it comes to theology, one can only be as diverse as God's Word will allow. Timothy was not heading up some type of social organization or some type of charitable effort, and he wasn't some sort of community activist who was the champion for a societal cause. Timothy was going to be the mouthpiece of Christ to the people of God. In verse 15, Paul calls Ephesus the household of God and the church of the living God. The stakes in the battle against heresy for Ephesus and for any church are unspeakably high. Notice how Paul then calls the church a pillar and a buttress of truth. Simply put, God has entrusted His truth in Christ to the church for its proclamation. Now, with any building, if the pillars and the buttresses are weak, it is a matter of time before the entire building collapses in on itself. Likewise, if the pillars and the buttresses of the church are weak because they are based on something else other than God's truth as revealed in Christ, then it too is a matter of time before the church likewise would collapse in on itself. The church's one foundation is centered on Jesus Christ, her Lord. But is Christ a trustworthy foundation? Can Jesus be trusted to be the heart and center of the church? Well, Paul's proclamation in verse 16 is yet another revelation of the solid strength and trustworthiness of the church's pillars and buttresses in Christ, as he says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Paul proclaims the Christ that we confess as a mystery because he must be revealed to the world. Sin's corruption of the world made God's truth an unknown to our sinful nature. But God has indeed revealed his truth to the world in Christ, the center of the church. Now then, as we heard, Paul goes on to define this mystery of Christ revealed and to show us his trustworthiness. He says, Jesus was manifested in the flesh, which makes Jesus one of us. It enabled Jesus to take our place in life, our place in punishment, and to be our sin sacrifice. Paul says that Jesus was vindicated by the Spirit. Passage from Deuteronomy 18 says that a false prophet can be identified by his prophecies that fail to come true. And Jesus made a lot of claims when he was here on earth. He claimed to be nothing short of the long-promised Messiah. He claimed to be God in flesh. He said that he was going to save his people from their sins. And each and every single one of Jesus' claims were proven to be absolutely true at the cross of Calvary. This is where he was indeed vindicated by the Spirit. Man had rejected him, but on the cross, Jesus was vindicated by the Spirit because the cross proved that he was exactly who he claimed he was. Paul said that he was proclaimed among the nations and believed on in the world. We saw that happen repeatedly throughout the book of Acts. Peter, one of the apostles, would proclaim the gospel and thousands of people at a time would be saved. It happened throughout Acts. It happens today in 2010, and it will continue to happen until his second coming. As the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, people repent, people believe, people are saved. Paul says he was taken up in glory, which was so at his victorious resurrection, where Jesus returned to his rightful spot at the right hand of the Father in the kingdom of heaven and seen by angels. Each and every single word that came out of the mouth of Christ was proven to be nothing short of God's perfect and absolute truth. So this makes Christ the only trustworthy center of the church. Now, my dear future pastors, this is good news. Christ is the center of the church, and we are not. This is joyous news because as you study so hard, and as you sit and think about what the future holds, and as you see time just racing by at breakneck speed with a call service coming up in the very short future, and if this is not your last year, trust me, your call service will be here before you know it. The thought of going out and serving the church can be extremely intimidating. The stakes are indeed high, and they get higher every day. What if I fail? Will my ministry be effective? Will the lost be reached? Will my flock be fed? What if I'm not good enough? Brothers, if you wrestle with these thoughts from time to time, I pray you will bookmark this passage in your scriptures. You will turn to it and read it again because it will give you that very blessed and reassuring reminder that it is, in fact, not going to be your ministry. it will be Christ's. A ministry with Christ at the center is a God-pleasing ministry based on Christ's truth. Think about it. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, the Messiah promised from back in the Garden of Eden, the God-man who never spoke a word that wasn't absolute truth, that Jesus will be at the center of your ministry that you will serve. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' last words of absolute truth to his first graduating class of future pastors are quite famous. Jesus said, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." The trustworthy center and foundation of the church said this to his apostles, and as a pastor, his promise will also be for you. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until his second coming. Amen.